Martha, being upset that she's left alone in the kitchen, and Mary freely spending her time at Jesus' feet. Martha is entirely focused on hospitality. Mary is entirely focused on welcome. But before we can take one more step or one more glimpse into this text, here's the thing that we don't want to do. Are you with me? We don't want to do this. We don't want to make this scripture a caricature or a cartoon with an obsessive Martha up to her eyeballs in soap suds and a virtuous Mary curled up in front of the fire and Jesus all the while giving scriptural warrants for dishes piling up in the sink. Yeah, we don't want to go there. We may be tempted to draw those little cartoon bubbles over each of their heads. And over Martha's head, it reads, "Get in here now and help." And over Mary's head, it says, "Here she goes, Miss Bossy Pants is at it again." And then haloed and illuminated over Jesus' head is, "Chill, Martha, chill. I am your non-anxious presence. Enjoy." Fred Craddock says that if we criticize Martha too harshly, she may abandon serving altogether. And if we praise Mary too profusely, she may sit there forever. There is a time to go and do, and there is a time to listen and reflect. And knowing which and when is a matter of spiritual discernment. And if we were to ask Jesus, should we be Mary's or Martha's? Martha's or Mary's? Jesus' answer would be yes. I was raised by Marthas. That is, I was raised by women for whom hospitality is an art form. They were all born in the South, Pickens, Mississippi, north of Jackson, about 60 miles. There was my grandmother, Josie May, and her sisters, my great aunts, Willie Hines and Amy Lee, and Ellen Day. And there was my own mother, and my Aunt Corrine, and my cousin Bobby. Southern women are prodigious Marthas and proud of it. Having been raised with them, I know that dinner in a Southern kitchen is a wonder to behold. Now, I say dinner because that's the meal that's served at noontime, not supper. Dinner. Dinner is served at home when people come back into the home from work to take a break and enjoy the central meal of the day. And those whose Southern hospitality is refined to an art never sit. They mysteriously glide around the table, back and forth from the kitchen, as if on ice skates. Plates never go empty. Guests are continually offered exactly what they need. In fact, Southern hostesses will continue to cook all through the meal. The okra needs to be restrained, not restrained, but restrained, and served midway. Corn must always be served right out of the pot. Dumplings require a last-minute, oh-so-gentle fold-over before they are gently like a baby put in the yellow Pyrex dish. And the cast iron skillet of cornbread is delivered straight from the oven. And somehow the prayer before the meal is timed so perfectly that the food doesn't skip a beat. I have never in my life been able to time a meal in all its glory like my grandmother and great aunts. Now, Michael's probably laughing because I don't make meals in our house very often. You do it beautifully, though. The greens are still steaming when served. The limas are cooling. The biscuits are evenly browned, even though they've been baked and stoked in a wood fire oven. Our KitchenAid dual fuel range with griddle and oven has nothing on them, nothing. And when does the hostess eat? This is one of the great mysteries of the South. The hostess keeps working, scurrying around the table, stopping mid-stride only to wipe the steam from her glasses with her pristine apron. She gives herself totally to serving, and we are all grateful. But when you welcome Jesus to your house for a summer meal, things can get upsetting. At Martha's house, Jesus has no need as of yet for the hummus and the yogurt and the nuts and the pita. What he does need, what Jesus needs, it's a deep need, is for both Mary and Martha to be in conversation and fellowship and friendship nearby. And that's really what moves us to the heart of this story. One preacher puts it like this: there is nothing wrong with Martha's fixing the food. This is the way people show love and welcome and hospitality all over the globe. In fact, there's something so absolutely essential about showing one's love of God and neighbor by stirring the applesauce and canning the crab apples and organizing crafts and snacks before vacation Bible school and spackling the ceiling at Appalachia Service Project and collecting backpacks and supplies for students in need and baking so lovingly those meatloaves and those cookies for loaves and fishes. Martha is doing a good thing, a necessary thing, an act of service. But if we try to do this kind of service without the life-affirming word of the gospel, apart from sitting at our Lord's feet, apart from sleeping and steeping ourselves in the light of the gospel, the light of the world, apart from conversation with God, it will distract us and worry us and beat us down and burn us out. Do you know what I'm talking about? There are some times that we're so committed to the church and its mission that we burn out. Sometimes we throw ourselves into an activity and we just become so emotionally drained. Our balance gets lost. We don't ask for help, perhaps, and we stumble down that slippery slope of too much, too far, and too often. Sometimes our overactivity may be that we're running from something, running away to find something. We may be too attached to finding our identity and the accolades we might receive, the kudos that we are given. It becomes quite seductive to be the one who can do it all can shoulder huge responsibility, who receives admiration for overdoing and overstretching and overperforming. I'm exhausted just thinking about it. Because in those actions, even if those actions are from love, the substance of the gospel, we detach from it, and we eat our weight in commitments. All of this happens when we've not yet learned that our worth is never attached to our doing anything. Our worth is about our being in Christ. That the greatest affirmation comes from living fully in the moment at the feet of Jesus. Now, perhaps Martha has not yet discovered the wisdom of living in that present moment. What Jesus wants for her when he says her name, and he doesn't just say it once, he says it twice, "Oh, Martha, Martha," is for her to find the better portion, not this minute in the kitchen, but this minute beside him. And you see, when you look at that text and read that text and say that text out loud and study that text, you realize that Jesus' call to her is not a rebuke. What's coming to us from Scripture is not, "Oh, Martha, Martha." But they are words of compassion. "Oh, Martha, Martha." It's a little like his words to the crowd, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Or, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself." Martha's hospitality is not a trifling, her homekeeping is not trivial. Hospitality finally means that somebody has to snap the pole beans and stir the succotash. Somebody has to arrive early at church on Sunday morning to put out the crayons or set up the laptop or get out the construction paper. Busy work? Worry work? No, absolutely not. But if we sit at Jesus' feet today, we remember, we must remember that there is a time to do, a time to go, and a time to listen and reflect. And it's a deep need, and it's for Mary and Martha and for each one of us to share the better portion. And that better portion is to share in Jesus himself. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.